this is Stephanie Rubel from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome you to our second book of the 2013-2014 Book Salon season, When God Talks Back, Understanding the American Evangelical Relationship with God. This month, I'm delighted to introduce our host, Professor Tanya Lerman. Tanya is the Howard and Jesse Watkins University Professor in Anthropology and a professor in psychology by courtesy. Her research focuses on the way that ideas held in the mind come to seem externally real to people, and the way that ideas about the mind affect mental experience. She has taught courses on culture and madness, research methods in anthropology, ethnographic writing, glimpses of divinity, spirituality and healing, and other minds. She has written a number of books, including Persuasions of the Witch's Craft, The Good Parsi, Of Two Minds, and When God Talks Back. Tanya, thank you so much for kicking off this month's discussion.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's great to be here.
So right out the gate, can you talk to us about why you decided to write this book?
Well, I was doing a project on another aspect of religion, and I was in this church in Southern California and talking to people about the way they experienced God, and a young woman, a kind of beach baby, you know, blonde Southern Californian, told me that if I wanted to understand the way people experienced God in her church, I should have a cup of coffee with God. And I thought that was amazing. The fact that she experienced herself as having this intimate, back and forth, chatty relationship with God, that she felt that she's sat down and talked to God over her morning cup of coffee. I wanted to know how people learned to do that and what that was like. And that led me on this quest that became the book that people are now reading.
Wow, that's a great story. So what issues from God, When God Talks Back, can you single out that readers might find interesting to discuss?
So this is a book about a common form of American evangelical spirituality, the way God is imagined and experienced in what's sometimes called renewalist Christianity, in which God is understood to be a relationship, not an abstract kind of God, a guy with a beard in the sky, but a person among people. I mean, God is still high and mighty and worthy and beyond, but God is also sort of somebody with whom you can kind of hang out. So I think the questions that would come up for me in reading this book are questions like, how important is belief in understanding people of faith? This book talks about the way people develop a relationship, the way they come to have an experience of God. It's not about a proposition, I kind of believe in God the way that I believe that the sky is blue. It's about a practice, a kind of skill. And so I think one of the interesting questions it raises is, well, what is the role of belief and what's the role of experience in understanding faith? Another kind of question that I think comes up for people is that what I saw in the world I came to study is that people learn to identify mental events, which they might otherwise have seen as their own thoughts, as being words from God, communications from God that he'd placed in their mind. And I think that that's quite interesting, how people learn to identify those thoughts. And, you know, you can take that perspective regardless of your religious commitments. I mean, I think that I approach this work with the perspective that the question, you know, from secular perspective, the question is how people come to experience themselves interacting with this invisible being. From a religious perspective, the question is, if God is always talking, why is it that not everybody hears? People are learning to identify what counts as God's voice. So from a religious perspective, I think the question that comes up for people is, how are they working through their own human experience to identify God? And who is that God for them? Because one of the things that I saw is that God was infinitely more complex than the kind of simple ideas people usually have about God, that they come to experience God is shaped through the almost the cloak of their own human understanding of other people. And so if you're religious, I think the question the book poses for you is, what are the sources of the way that you imagine God, and how does that become part of your representation of God? And what are the very personal parts of that representation that you didn't even expect to be there? If you're not religious, I think the question that comes up is, how do you understand your own sense of the wise inner voice that gives you counsel? Because we all have that. And, you know, we all wish we could have a more robust and more reliable inner voice to give us guidance when we face the world. So the question that comes up for a secular person is, okay, what are people doing to learn how to have a more resilient sense of an optimistic, wise, guiding voice that helps to keep them confident in their everyday decisions? And I think the book teaches you something about that. Another kind of question I think the book raises for people is, what kind of person are they when they sit down to pray? So one of the things I found is that people who are able to pray in the way that this kind of church invites you to pray, they're more likely to do it if they are capable of being absorbed, if they like being caught up in their imagination. And if you're that kind of person, and it turned out that I had a way of picking out who those people were, you're more likely to experience God as a person that you're interacting with. You're more able to have a kind of a rich daydream-like encounter with God. And if you're not like that, it's tougher. So the book also asks, well, what kind of person are you, and how do you manage your imaginative life, and what consequences does that have for you? And I should be clear that by talking about the importance of the imagination, I'm not saying that God is imaginary, but God is invisible. If you're going to represent God, you've got to use your imagination. The medieval monastics knew that. They thought that the imagination was the road to God. We've sort of forgotten that. But one of the questions that the book brings to the table is the question of how the reader relates to their own imagination and how that shapes their own experience of the everyday and their own experience of faith.
There's a lot of good points of discussion there. Thank you for sharing. Will you talk to us about your favorite part of the book and why you wrote it?
I wouldn't say that I have a favorite part of the book, but I would say that there were things that I learned in the research that I found particularly compelling. So chapter 2 is about the way in which I learned how people were able to point to the thoughts and feelings and experiences that they had that they associated with God. And I learned that there are these rules that people use to discriminate between their everyday thoughts and their experience of God. That I thought was pretty intriguing. In chapter 5, I describe the way I saw people change. So one of the things that the book does is to recount the fact that people change as they begin to pray. And we know that that's true from a theological perspective. That makes sense. But what I saw was that psychologically, people began to change. Their inner worlds became more vivid to them. They began to remember scents and colors. They had a sense that their inner world was sort of, in some ways, more independent of them, that their thoughts and feelings would come to them as if not under their own control, and they would feel like they had this more external quality. And I was fascinated as I began to learn more about that. I ran an experiment that I describe in chapter 7, and I wanted to see whether I could really demonstrate that prayer practice changed the way people experienced their minds and their feelings. And I was able to demonstrate that, and I described that in chapter 7, and I'm proud of that chapter. But I like all the book.
It sounds great. Lastly, will you tell us what you're currently reading?
Well, I'll tell you that my favorite novel of the last, or I guess couple of novels of the last year or two are books by Hilary Mantel, Wolf Hall and Bring Up the Bodies. And I love those books because I love the way that she creates Thomas Cromwell as a character. The story of Henry VIII is really what David Brooks once called a paracosm. It's an imaginative universe in which you know a lot already because, I mean, who didn't grow up, particularly girls, you grow up with this, you know, set of ideas about Henry VIII and his six wives, and you know so much about all those different characters, but you don't know about Thomas Cromwell, who was Henry VIII's main advisor for some of those years. And Hilary Mantel tells you the story of that world from his eyes. It's a much more brutal world, and it's a world in which faith presses in upon the everyday in a way that is more powerful and very different from the American middle-class experience. And so I just love what she does with language. So those are my two favorite novels. These days I'm reading a lot about speaking in tongues because I just went to Africa to look at the African equivalents of the churches in which I spent time for writing When God Talks Back. And one of the things I saw in Africa is that speaking in tongues is really, really important. And, you know, people may know what that means, but just for the record, speaking, tongues are a language-like sound in which people string together phonemes from their own language, and they utter words that aren't words in a language they recognize, but which they understand to be a language in which they can talk to God. And it's quite compelling when you hear tongues. It's like a soothing babble of noise and sometimes an angry and agitated babble of noise. And when I was in Africa, I was in churches in which people would speak in tongues for 3 hours at a time. So I've been now reading some literature about tongues and I hope to understand it more deeply.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing. Tanya, thank you so much for introducing us to When God Talks Back.
It's a pleasure. I hope people enjoy the book, and I look forward to interacting with people around it.
Thanks.